This is Judith Conrad Radio, presenting extraordinary visionary experts in health, wealth, business, and manifesting your dreams come true. And now, here's your host, Judith Conrad, starting your day with the good news.
Well, welcome. This is Judith Conrad calling you from rainy Oregon. And I'm assuming it's raining and snowing in other parts of the world, too. Interesting times we are here in this place. We have some, on Facebook, I see that some of my friends have hail coming in. Just change all over the place. So I've been really focusing on change. How can I fit in with the change, especially with my guests, whatever they're about? I want to make sure that they are assisting all of our listeners out there with change. And so I did throw the I Ching. Now, I also do the Tarot quite often. And so today, I just said, show me, Spirit, what I need to know now to move through what is and what the change is. And so I got, I don't know, for any of you who have ever worked with the I Ching, you throw it 6 times. And if it, in a certain combination, you get that line is going to change. Well, as I was doing it, 4 of the 6 lines changed. I say that's major. That was, first of all, a lesson that what I need to know is that there is everything in flux. Everything is changing. And so one of the things that I am here to do is to be the microcosm of the macrocosm, because I know that many of you out there are in change also. And the message from the I Ching was, number 49, change. Surprise. This is a transforming change is necessary. And it is not a radical change all at once. It's a gradual change. There's a need for a single, well-ordered vision. So whatever your vision is, and that is being in the now right here, to be able to be present for what wants to happen. And when I read through some of the material that I was preparing here, I said, oh my goodness, I wonder if there's anyone else out there who has experienced this emotional cleansing. Many of the people up here in Eugene or Oregon are doing that. Because they're looking for that spiritual shift. And one of the ways to access this is to be in gratitude. And that one of your goals is absolutely that you are surrendering. You're not doing or having, you are being. It is a whole purging. And you know what purging is like. It is, well, we won't go into that. So not only are individuals purging and surrendering, the whole planet is purging. There's a whole thing about cord cutting, journeying, journaling, and finding that your life purpose is no longer what you thought you were here to do, because right now with chaos and the purging going on and releasing and surrendering, very important to just be clear that your purpose is releasing, relax, and just let it and flow with that. So your intention is no longer to be doing and having. It is to be. And it's been that way for so long for many of us on the spiritual path. And it is important that we gather in tribes so that we can hold each other in what we're going through, what the planet is going through. So the purpose then is being, not doing. We are recreating ourselves. I kind of got a chuckle out of that because I'm in the process of rewriting a brochure. Well, Mercury retrograde, you know, you always do things like that. And recreating my website. And as I was doing that, I was noticing, you know, I don't do that anymore. No, I don't do that anymore. Oh, that either. So, you're moving into a new realm and where Spirit wants you to be. And especially now with this 2012, we are in the middle of this huge, huge transformation. And many of the folks here in Eugene are all of a sudden moving. They're moving to Montana. They're moving to, you know, just different places where they grew up. And that's what I'm finding, that many are returning to the place where they grew up. I'll never go back there again. No way, no way. And here they are. Oh, sorry, I'm going back to Montana, you know, or I'm going back to Idaho or wherever. And they're excited about doing it now because Spirit has given them the marching papers, the visa to go there. And so tribes are gathering to hold a space. And as we're doing this, we are to love what is, Byron Katie. With the release comes a lot of the physical things, diarrhea and things in the body start being agitated, so that there is that part of the purging too. I said, okay, God, that's enough of that. And here is one of the things that I'm really recommending for the spiritual teachers out there. Yes, you're used to working and educating a lot of folks. I think that now is the time to use all of your tools for you. Because as you get through on this bridge, you get across the bridge before anyone else does, you're able to help the others get across the bridge and to change and deepen the work that you're doing. That's why when I looked at my work, which I've been doing for 28 years, I said, ooh, I don't do that. I don't do that, nor not that either. And then I said, okay, Spirit, what is it you want me to do? And that's where I'm at in this whole mix of things. And so I'm looking forward to going down to the WESAC, where I'm going to be hearing some people talk that I really respect. So you be open to, here, this is a whole list. Be open to surrender. Be open to receiving guidance, whether from dreams, whether from journaling, journeying, receiving guidance, using your automatic writing, whatever it is, do something like that. If crying is going to do it, please do that. Keep checking in with what is working and what is not working. Sifting and sorting. Cord cutting. Using your own tools. Because we're in this unknown experience, unknown space. We've never, ever been in this place before. And I'm thinking, you know, way back when, you know, when the, before the extraterrestrials came and gave us all this information. I'm sure we were in this place. Gee, I don't really know what's going on. And then all of a sudden we get this injection of intellect of the extraterrestrials coming and giving us information. Pretty cool. And so what we're mirroring right now is the macro within our own micro experience. So imagine yourself on the other side of this whole transformation and what that might look like. And I don't think, for some of us, I don't think we can even fathom where we're really going. What I know is that I'm a pioneer in this particular one. I know that this is more personal than before. And whenever there's pain or stress, that's taking you through to the other side. So bring it on. Bring it on. Well, let's do a little astrology here. I am going to use Elizabeth Jones from Mount Shasta. Well, we just had Mercury going direct just a few hours ago. And this one is a doozy. I mean, this has been such a Mercury retrograde, I can tell you. It's still in that sign, it's kind of a spacey sign of Pisces until the 16th of April. So our mind is still in this place of operating in water. So Pisces, yeah, it gives you a little bit of that, what do you call it, laissez-faire. You can't get a grasp on some things. And it's helping to slow down the thought process. I was beginning to think the other day, I said, am I going, my mind, where did my mind go? I can't focus. and I mentioned that to somebody else, some of my friends. They said, oh, I didn't even want to mention it. I didn't want to mention it because this is what I'm experiencing too. A lot of judgment is clouded, interfering with communications. Of course, with that Mercury retrograde, be careful of your communications. But now it's direct. We're still in part of that though. So we don't need to, you know, stop looking at the details. Keep checking in with your own intuition. If whatever comes up, check in. Well, we, according to Elizabeth, we've got Venus is passing directly in front of the Pleiades star cluster, and you can see that visibly, probably there at Mount Shasta, where if, unless it's snowing. And it's best viewed Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Well, today's Wednesday. This is a, so with Venus, it's bringing in, with from the Pleiades, a benevolent energy is streaming forth, aligning our hearts with the cosmic heart. If we but attune, a reminder that all is well. So we've got a, quite a few things in the astrology. Today is a good day to watch out in traffic. So when I leave after the show and go to a women's group, I'm going to be very careful when I'm driving. All right. So that's the astrology for this time. As I said, it's kind of surreal, everything. Well, here are the astrology. Here are the tarot cards for the day. The Five of Wands, everything being turned away from center. Well, that's being that in the surrealistic place. And everything is leaded, clouded, just like I said, with the mind. Number two card is the Nine of Wands, spiritual strength. To come from our spiritual strength and trust that we are on the path that we are here to be, to be, not to do and have. That's like an old paradigm. We're here to be, because when we can be who we are in our truth, then that's it. Third card is the Princess of Cups, and that is to let go and let spirit. Let spirit be in charge. Of course, you're going to use logic. You're not going to, you know, jump off a bridge and just think that, well, I can just do that because spirit probably told me to. No, let's get real here. So you're being protected. Let go. Let God. Let go. Let spirit. And the last card, number four card, is the Three of Cups, emotional abundance. We are being filled with support all the way along. Our guides are right here. They just are waiting for us to say, hello, you know, I'm dialing you. Would you please look and see that I'm here to help you? So then the best thing then is to get as clear as you possibly can in the now, not to worry about the past, and not to worry about the future. It's just to be in this place. All right. I've said everything I wanted to say. Now I'm going to bring in Dawn. We're going to be talking about the WESAC celebration. And I haven't been to the WESAC celebration for a long time. So I'm really looking forward to coming. I remember coming to Mount Shasta. Oh, my gosh. I think when Joshua David Stone was doing it, and we came up, and I thought, what a magical place. Little did I know that I would be living there for 6 years. Some folks weren't called to go other places, like Dawn. So welcome to the program, Dawn. Do we have Dawn online?
We should. I'm hear you. Do you hear me?
I just barely hear you.
Uh-oh. I'm speaking directly into my phone. What can
there
I do?
You go. There you go. There you go. I can hear you perfectly now.
Oh, great. What I said was, WESAC and Mount Shasta miss you, girl.
I know. And, you know, my heart is so there. And
oh, my.
But Spirit said it's time to go with the assistance of a couple other people. And so here we are in Eugene, and I am doing my work here. And, of course, I come and visit as often as I can.
Well, Eugene's a pretty great town, too, from what I've heard.
Oh, it is. Lots of spiritual teachers here.
Yeah.
And the business folks that I'm associated with mostly are very very spiritual. I mean, they don't talk about it like we do in Mount Shasta so much, but they're very sensitive, and I just feel very, very blessed to be with them.
Well, there was a reason that you were called to be up there, I'm certain.
I know, and I belong to both chambers, Springfield, and then also Eugene, every wow. women's business organization. And I just joined Next Step Recycling, where we're helping to
wow.
keep electronics out of the landfill. And so I'm helping businesses know that they can take it over to a whole warehouse where the folks with learning disabilities come in and they learn how to disassemble a TV and fix it. And through learning all of that, they end up with a computer to take home.
Wow, that's a fabulous program.
It is. I just joined the board. I was thrilled to be asked. We're having a meeting right after this, mostly women from the group. And, in fact, we'll be talking about that tomorrow. But I want to focus on the WESAC. And first of all, Dawn, I want to just let me talk just with you before we get to the WESAC. I want to know, what drew you to Mount Shasta?
Oh, my goodness. I had driven through many years before that on my way up from Yosemite to Rainier, and we drove around it and decided not to stay. It was my traveling buddy and I, because Rainier was calling, and I never thought about it again until years later when I started having these dreams. In about 1992, I started having dreams where I was seeing an image that I could not get my subconscious to explain to me, so I called my friend Joanna Cherry, who lived here.
I love her.
And I explained it to her. And she said, she started laughing, first of all. It had been bothering me for months, and I said, why are you laughing? She said, because that image is only finished being painted. It's going to be the poster for the Ascension celebration we're having here. I think that means you need to come. So I came, and I never left. What can I say?
Right, and that same thing happened in the Bay Area when I was there. I was getting all of this, and I called up to my friend Shirley, who lived, I can't remember her name now, and I said, I don't know why I'm, thinking about Mount Shasta. My Facebook or my computer has, the picture of Mount Shasta on here. She says, would you get your butt up here? And so I said, okay, well, if you look around and see if there are places to rent up there. And so we came up, and next to that was history, because immediately we found our little place.
Oh, yeah, that's the way it works here. If you're not ready to be here, if it's not ready for you to be here, you won't be able to find a place to eat in, let alone live in.
Right.
But if you're ready, the whole energy opens up to you like Moses in the Red Sea. There it is. Here you are. Here's your place. Here's your job. Welcome to Mount Shasta.
Right. So what? Once you got to Mount Shasta, what was the assimilation? I mean, did you get there and open arms were welcoming you, explain what happened when you first got there?
I already knew a lot of people who were living here, and sorry, somebody just tried to come in the room. I knew a lot of people who were living here. And when I got here, I was able to take some time to just sit and be with the mountain. I was able to just literally sit on this big orange chair in Joanna Cherry's living room and stare at the mountain for about 6 weeks. And finally, this whole message was downloaded to me about what I was supposed to do, which was to start a magazine. And it happened at my 6 week anniversary of being here, I forget, but they had a party for me. They were going to do a meditation because I think Joanna thought I was going cuckoo, just sitting around doing nothing. and at this meditation, Saint Germain came through, and there was a huge violet light in the middle of the room. And Saint Germain came, and he told me I was to do a magazine named Mount Shasta Magazine. And then Babaji came in, because I said, I don't know nothing about doing no magazine. And they said, don't worry. So after the channeling, I convinced myself that they really meant for me to get the magazine done. And I took it over to the local newspaper, and I bothered them for about a year and a half until the owner at that time sold it to American Publishing Company. And their publisher called me within 2 weeks saying, I heard you have this idea for a magazine.
Look at that.
So there you are. I got over there. I got 4 years of training with the newspaper. They actually owned the magazine. They called it Mount Shasta Directions at the time.
Uh-huh.
And after 4 years, the company was purchased by a Mormon group that didn't want anything to do with New Age.
Oh,
so they said, we're dumping this. I said, well, give it back to me. They said, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't charge me a penny for it. I took it all home, and there you go. It was mine from 1999. A local businessman called me up and said, do you need help getting that thing together?
Yes.
I said, sure. So he gave us the money to support it for a couple of years, and it was 17 years later. It's still going strong.
Love it. Now, you made it, you said an expression that, you know, I just want the folks that are listening, or either right now or on the archives, to be with the mountain. Now, because, you know, that's what I happened when I got there. I was with right. the mountain. And yes. other folks, that, and then I brought groups up here, and they were with the mountain with me and with other locals. What does that mean? Let's put our finger on the pulse of what it means to be with the mountain when you come to Mount Shasta, whether it's the Wesak or whatever.
Wow. It's such an all-encompassing experience that it's difficult to explain. For me, literally, for 6 weeks, I was come from upstairs in my house, walked down, walked past the picture window in the living room, and a voice in my head said, sit down. And I sat, and I just stared at through that picture window at that mountain, and I could feel the energy of the mountain reworking my whole body.
Mm-hmm.
It was changing me and bringing me to its frequency. It's the only way I can explain that.
Right.
And I was not exactly an inexperienced meditator when I got here, but after that, everything just became new and revitalized, and my energy was just changed. I know that many of the Hindu teachers remark on the fact that when Amaji came here, she was sleeping in the van on the way up, and all of a sudden she woke up just in time to see Mount Shasta, and she started saying, Shiva, 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 Shiva. It's just as if this mountain is a living deity.
Yes.
And they feel that. Those who are very sensitive do feel it. Those who don't just feel it as a magnificent expression of the glorious nature that God put here for us.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be on that mountain and not feel something unless you're a corpse.
Right. That's why I think I come back down to Mount Shasta, is to re-energize my connection with my friends, but also to reconnect with the spirit of the mountain, because it, when you do live there, you get your body changes.
Yes.
And it's hard to describe. I thought maybe you could describe it. I couldn't describe it because I know that I'm different in the way I think. And sometimes when I get in some of these business groups and I come through with my Mount Shasta talk, because, you know, freely speaking about doing what I do, and they just kind of look at me like, is this lady from another planet? And I always turn around and say, yes, I am, by the way, serious. But, you know, love them as I do, but they just don't understand the energy that one gets when they live there for any amount of time. Maybe a year you might get it, but, you know, 6 years, and you've been there how many years? 20?
This is going on 19, yeah.
19, yeah. I thought, well, mm-hmm. pretty close here. So
yeah,
the body gets... body gets reworked, and I believe that when they come to the, and I'm just putting it out to the folks, and I did the last program, that I want to bring a group down and have them experience what I experience. And, you know, if you want me to hang out with you, fine. Otherwise, I'm just going to put you in there and let you experience it. But if you want a little additional oomph, that's fine too. In mm-hmm. fact, I need to have you send a banner to me so we can put on the website and,
For Wesak?
Didn't do that. Yeah, we need to have a... I'll talk to you after the program. So.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so Wesak. Tell us what... I think I have the audience so that they know a little bit about who you are. I always like to, you know, put a platform out for them to see who's speaking to you. Okay. That would be you.
Okay. Well, you want to hear about Wesak?
Well, first
Wesak,
of all... Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead for Wesak.
Wesak is the middle moon of three spring moons that used to be attached to ancient pagan ritual. The first moon is the moon of Aries, or April. That is the moon of the Christ. The second is the moon of Taurus, or May, which is the moon of the Buddha. And the third moon is the moon in June, or Gemini, which is called the moon of the humanities. In ancient times, those three moons were the most powerful moons of the year, the May moon, the middle moon, being the most powerful. In the time that Buddha was born, it was said that he was born became enlightened and died all on the same day at that full moon of May. The
wow.
people that I know, who I have paid to trace it back, find that it's always been celebrated as the full moon of May. Of course, nobody knows exactly when. Their record keeping was completely different in those days.
Right.
Any more than they know when was Jesus born. But they
exactly. Thank you very much.
Well, so they have always done it at the full moon of May. And in 1950, the king of Thailand made a proclamation that said that in all Buddhist countries, it will be celebrated as the full moon in May. I don't know why he had the authority to do that, but he did. Now, we here, living at Mount Shasta, have the extra advantage of living under a living beacon. This mountain has been known to be a transmitter of energies from other realms to this realm, especially the energies of the Christ, the Buddha, and any other ascended master you can come up with, Saint Germain, for example. The ascended masters come through this mountain every year in July to go to their ascended master retreat in the Tetons, where they have their annual gathering, and then on the way home, they stop by again and leave us for the rest of the year. Well, supposedly leave us. So the mountain itself is reason enough to be here. But when you add the fact that we are deliberately putting ourselves under the Wesak moon, under the Buddha moon, under the most powerful full moon of the year, and we are opening our minds and our hearts and our spirits to advancement, to evolution, we either have to be crazy or very smart.
I go for the latter.
Because everything is elevated. Everything is elevated at that time of year. And when you add that elevation and put it under this magnifying glass, this transmitter that is Mount Shasta, just the experience of being here is enough to move you. And then when you listen to some of the speakers that we have, especially this year, you are given information to help you with that opening, to tell you why you came here and what you were looking for that brought you here. You know, did you really come here just to hear Carolyn Ford speak? No. You came here to be with the mountain, and Carolyn gave you information to enhance your experience of the mountain. And to me, that's always been the mystery of Wesak. Now, when Joshua did it, he would go out and get all the latest and the best and the newest and the weirdest people. And that drew
yes.
a lot of people here. I mean, let's face it, he did.
Mm-hmm.
I love him. I love him to this day. And when he died and gave the event to me, I said, Joshua, I'm not you. I can't do that. He said, you can do this. And he just left. So I let it be what it is. I don't try to make it anything other than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And the speakers who come every year sometimes surprise me, the ones who are drawn to be here. We invite a lot of people. Not all of them say yes.
Mm-hmm.
We have changed the money from this event into a nonprofit organization, and we support the local Meals on Wheels group here. The people and the teachers who come volunteer their time. Sometimes they can write it off, sometimes they can't, but they're not even here for money. They're here to give their gifts in this holy place. It just amazes me every year. It just blows me away.
And some of them, the teachers that come and sit in the audience, that's
mm-hmm.
another thing that I notice.
Absolutely.
Is that they're well-known names, and here they are sitting and listening to the local spiritual teachers like Joanna Cherry, Maura Kuan Yin, and so
Susan Isabel is with us now. I don't know if you met her while you were here.
Not yet,
I
will.
She's the keeper of the 13th Mayan skull. It was given to her by Mayans in Mexico somewhere.
Oh, yes.
I probably shouldn't say that. It may not have been Mexico, but the Mayan people gave it to her.
Well,
and,
I tell you what I do know about this is that I've been in contact with Nan Olson from Alter Spaces, who's going to have a booth there, by the way.
Yes.
And she's been telling me about this Raymond Tarpey and Stephen Mailer.
Oh, my goodness. Is that not a coup, just to have Raymond come into town?
You bet. And she said, you, Judith, need to be here for the Wesak just for that.
Oh, he is amazing. And he's so unassuming. And the best ones, the ones who really have it, that's how they are.
Yeah.
They don't have a big ego about me and my work and how great I am and I will help you evolve. No. Raymond is a member of Edgar Casey's ARE group.
Right, right.
And he's also an ARE historian. And he specializes in antiquities and the crystal skulls, which we have Einstein, a 32-pound crystal skull coming.
Yes.
And we also have Stephen Mailer, who's also an architect, listen to me, architect, an archaeologist,
yeah,
and a studier of ancient histories. He's in Egypt. He's coming from Egypt to be in Wisak.
Nice.
He specializes in the skulls and the mythology and how all of these are related. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
The other person that's coming that just arrived back in Mount Shasta is, her name just went out of my mind, the painter.
Cheryl Rose.
Cheryl Rose, Yambrak Rose, is back in town, and she's been painting this one, and I see it on Facebook, and that's going to be at the WESAC, so that's going to be very special.
Yeah, she's not coming to speak. She's coming to just be present at WESAC. She and I have been friends for a long time, and you know, she used to send things over, sure, if you want to sell this, go ahead. But this is the first time she actually wants to be present at the WESAC, and she's going to be giving away signed copies of her latest work.
Wonderful.
To people who go to WESAC. I don't know if you have to do anything like jump through hoops to get them. I doubt it with Cheryl.
But yeah, I will jump through any hoop. I bought her book. I bought her book, and I'm so tickled with it.
Well, she has a tarot deck out, too, now. That
I know she does.
Her work. I
stick with my Crowley deck. So
I'm
especially excited to go and sit with Nan at her crystal at the altar space. I told Nan I was going to mention her today. And I will. Some of those crystals will follow me home.
I have the same problem with Ganesha statues. Ganesha follows me home.
Really?
Everywhere I look, there he is.
I know. Anyway. Well, you have quite a spiritual background. Who are some of the folks that you studied with?
Well, I was born and raised Catholic, first of all.
Yep.
So most of the people I studied with were those guys.
Yeah.
But when I broke away from the church, I found A Course in Miracles. Studied with a lot of the Unity Church ministers.
Good.
And my main teacher has always been Ramtha up in Yelm.
Yeah.
Ramtha, the Enlightened One in Yelm. He has opened my mind to many, many things. But along the way, primarily because one of my dearest friends is a Hindu Swami, and my brother is also a Hindu Swami now, I have also studied with Sant Keshavadas, with Shivananda. I've been to Amma's ashram many times, although I'm not a student of hers. So I have been sort of around the spiritual block a few times, you know.
Right, right.
But the key in any person's evolution is to keep an open mind and to look for the truth in whatever's being given to you. And I can find the truth in Hinduism, in Buddhism, in Judaism, in Catholicism, and in Ramtha's teachings. And as long as they're ringing true to my nature, my way of understanding what God is all about, then I will investigate. And if it doesn't, I won't.
Right. I think the key is right there to have an open mind. Yeah, today I had a wonderful session with a lady, and she came in. She says, I don't know why I'm here. I just know that I'm here, and I want to see what you have to say. She says, I'm open. And how can you go wrong when someone sits down and says, I'm open?
Mm-hmm.
Bring the information through.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was very blessed when I came to Mount Shasta to have the ability to live with Joanna Cherry for a while. And of course, I studied her work. I studied Amora Kuan Yin's work. I've studied Cheryl Rose's art. You know, I've been so lucky. Gary Zukoff and Linda Francis are good friends.
Uh-huh.
We have Grace on the Mountain and Kathy Zavada and Eric Berglund. All of these people who live this life that is just so full of integrity and full of service and this sort of, I want to say delicate devotional attitude, but it's not delicate. It's very robust. It just seems delicate. It seems soft and gentle. But when you get in there, it's so solid and so strong that it just feels like you can take a breath finally. Do you know? You know what
yeah.
I mean? It's safe here to be an explorer of yourself.
And that's not always true in certain situations where, you know, the husband or the wife, you know, or the parents are just suppressing any investigation because of fear of, oh, if they find they get enlightened, they're not going to stick around me. And so wrong, you know, it's just, it just boggles my mind that someone can't follow their path because of another person wanting to control. That doesn't serve anyone. And the biggest thing here, Dawn, is to be of service and let it unfold, especially right now. This whole evolution that I'm going through, I mean, I am in this evolution of where I come out the other side, I don't know. And whatever it is will be my perfect vocation, whatever, you know. I'm available. That's what I say to spirit. I'm available.
You got to watch out because they usually have their arms full when they're ready to somebody's open. Let's go.
Right. All right. Let's get her back down to Mount Shasta here. I would be without my husband doesn't want to come back. I'm sorry.
Oh, well. And when my brother and I left to go to a wedding, We had to take the train, so we went for 5 days there. We stayed 5 days in New Orleans and 5 days home. We were fine. We felt, oh, well, we miss home. But the minute we started to see the McLeod River coming down, or the Sacramento River coming down the side of the train tracks on the going back up to Dunsmuir, we looked at each other, and we were both in tears. And we said, what are we crying for? He said, I don't know, but all of a sudden I feel like I'm home.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
I'm home.
Yeah,
we've
right.
just been at our place of birth, you know. So, it's
just amazing. Too funny. Well, let's look at some of the other folks that are going to be
presenters
and local and non-locals.
Well, we have spoken a little bit about Carolyn Ford and Einstein. Now, she's been channeling Einstein for a long time. He's called the Crystal Skull of Consciousness, and she'll be available to do sessions, both private and at the event. And Raymond Tarpey, he's going to do a session and a workshop after the event. I'm not sure if Stephen's going to do a workshop, but he will certainly be a very informative and exciting speaker. But then we also sort of shift gears a little bit, and we have a lady named Ruth Brody Sharon, who is a filmmaker and a writer and a journalist. And she's actually spoken at the United Nations on ethical journalism.
Okay.
She's going to be fabulous to listen to. She has written a book called Minefields and Miracle, A Global Adventure in Interfaith, and she calls herself a leader of interfaith Pilates, where she really examines a lot of the different teachings, sort of like what we were just talking about, how what's right and what's working, you know, and why should we all be fighting? We're saying the same things.
Right. Hello.
And now, Ruth recommended a lady to us named Gila Neeson. She's an Israeli Kabbalist. And if Ruth recommended her, I said, of course I want to hear about her. So Gila is going to be coming as well and telling us the Israeli perspective on Kabbalah. And then we have Meg Blackburn-Losey, who is also just known as Dr. Meg. She's got a pretty popular internet radio show up in Seattle. She has written many books. She had, I think the most well-known one is probably Children of Now. But her newest book is called The Mystery of 2012 Anthology. She's created the Touching the Light Healing Modality and a bunch of other things. You know, but basically, she's just an all-around, well-versed, good gal speaker who just knows how to put it to you in a way that you really understand what she's talking about.
Nice.
And now one of my favorites, of course, is Jude Unegbu. He's a West African shaman who just so happened to be driving out of town when a friend of mine called and said, you got to talk to this guy. So I picked up the phone, and he's on the cell phone driving down the freeway, driving down I-5, and I told him my cat was sick, and he said, she's healed. And I swear to you, in that five-second period, the cat got up off the couch and started running around the room.
Wow.
I said, oh, I got to talk to this man. So... So we invited him for WESOC, and this will be his third time coming. He loves to come up to Mount Shasta now. He's a very soft-spoken gentleman, but a very powerful healer. We also have Dr. Raja Dove. He's with Star Doves. Now, Raja's wife and twin flame recently passed, so he's sneaking
up. Oh, really?
Up here. Yeah, she just recent December.
Oh.
And she wanted her ashes to be scattered at Mount Shasta, which is not legal.
Right.
So he's coming to do a ceremony here, and whether the ashes are accidentally spilt on the mountain, I won't say. I don't know.
And they have a radio program on the, had a program on this station, too, I believe.
Aquarian Perspective, I think.
Yes, and I remember meeting them at the, I think it was at the WESAC, one of the WESACs.
Probably, yeah. He's been doing WESAC since, wow, way back in the beginning. But then they moved to South Carolina, and she was getting sick, I believe. So they didn't travel out as much anymore. Anyway, we have a lady named Irina Sunchild who does a healing technique called helioenergetics, which is based on the Russian healer teachings of Grigory Grabovoi. I don't know if you can say that name right or not, but she's very gregarious young lady who is amazing and with her healing. She works with numbers and sacred geometry and fabulous woman. And, of course, we have Susan Isabel, the 13th Crystal Skull Mayan Keeper. She's a local now. Eric Berglund. You know Eric.
Oh, yes, God. Yes.
What? He's a healer and musician. I was going to say harpist, but musician, harpist, and singer. He uses his voice. He's got a tenor voice that would make the Irish weep. He's so good.
It goes right through you.
Oh, it does. And some of his Angel CD, I can't remember the name of it, it might just be the Angel CD, is credited with doing healings just from people hearing it on their radio. People are calling him and telling him how they've been healed from hearing something that's just playing somewhere else. Of course, then we have Joanna, who is the founder of Ascension Mastery International. She does our meditation to go inside the mountain every year for us. Because she's the only one who does it very well. And I just had to print more copies of her 2008 meditation for that. It's a spontaneous meditation. Every year it's a little different. But 2008, apparently, people like. I just had to make up more copies to sell. And she's going to be there. And we have Amora, who does Palladian light work with the Dolphin Star Temple, which is an actual certified, bona fide United States religion. So you can practice your... Yeah. And in theory, if you are a member of the Dolphin Star Temple as a practicing member, you should be able to immigrate to the United States of America because you can't practice your religion anywhere else.
Huh.
That's a theory we haven't tried out. But
yeah, right.
But she has a lot of awakening books, Awakening Your Divine Ka, the Pleiadian Tantric book, Awakening Your Divine Ba, which I believe are both Egyptian terms. And she, too, leads meditations and does channelings just at WESOC for WESOC. So you can't really say what she's going to do besides channel. She's
right.
Not going to give you a list, you know.
Right.
And this year we're trying one thing different. We've got Mira L., a local lady. She's going to lead some Sufi dancing.
Good.
Right smack in the middle of everything. We're going to give her a couple of dances. And people just love what she does. She and many of these teachers, by the way, are having their own events. For example, Mira L. has a monthly dance with the full moon. And because of their knowledge of what our Meals on Wheels program needs here, she and many others have started just putting up little jars at their thing, saying, listen, this has always been a free event, and I'm still not charging you, but if you want to make a donation to Meals on Wheels, please put it in the jar. And she brings us $100, $150 a month on a regular basis. Joanna does the same thing. Maura hasn't had a chance to do that yet, but she will do the same thing. All of these teachers here have jars in their shops, and they are emotionally and as well as they can physically supporting keeping this program going.
Tithing.
Yes, thriving. Well,
tithing.
Sahadev and I, by the way, will be leading some kirtan.
Now, last on Facebook, Della Clark had her birthday. And
yeah,
she
did last night.
Yeah, and she put it up on Facebook. What a wonderful way to celebrate her birthday.
We didn't film it. We usually have had an ongoing simulcast, if you will, where you can see it online while we're singing. And we have not too many followers because it's not too well known yet, but we usually have people there. And we thought sure, I thought for sure that they would do that again, and people will be able to say hello to Della for her birthday, but she
yeah.
didn't want any of that. They didn't even put it up. All she wanted to do was sing with us.
Right.
So she sang, and we gave her some brownies at the end of the night, and she said that was the best birthday she ever had.
I know it. And she posted it up on Facebook. And of course, another one of my friends, Todd Corey, had a birthday the same day.
Oh, I didn't know Todd had the same birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I know Todd.
So, you see, I am very connected through Facebook. I have more friends on Facebook from Mount Shasta than I had when I lived there.
Well, I can say the same thing, but only it's about my nieces and nephews. I know them better now than I ever did before I got on Facebook.
Right, right.
Now we Facebook. My sister introduced me to some of them at the wedding, and we both went, oh, we know, we Facebook. My sister looked at me like, I didn't know you spoke foreign languages.
So Meals on Wheels, give me a, you know, you stepped in and took that on. Tell us a little bit about what that looks like there in Mount Shasta.
Well, I took on the fundraising part
mm-hmm.
because it takes well more than one person to do this job, believe me. In Mount Shasta, we have about 175 people who are senior citizens who need assistance in medical assistance in eating or in getting food. They can't cook, perhaps they can't get out. Sometimes they have a family here, but in the middle of the day, nobody sees them. More often than not, we have seniors who live alone. And you know, our territory here is pretty widespread. It was just, there is town, but even out by where Della is, it's a far cry if a senior is in trouble and needs to get up and go to town.
That's right.
To go eat, you can't do it. So we have a program. It's Meals on Wheels, which is the national program. It's not nationally run, but it is a member of the national group. We take food, nutritionally balanced meals, to seniors in need, basically. Sometimes it's financial need, but many times it's just medical need. And in many cases, our driver is the only person that senior will see all day long. And so our driver has also become, our drivers have become adept at knowing when the person's not feeling well, who do we call the doctor, do we call the family, you know, so we watch out for them. And every year since I've been involved, which is the last 5 years, the government has cut back on the budget for the program. I mean, they started off with $25,000 and then $25,000 more and then $26,000. And so they've almost cut the budget for that in half. And yet we still have the same numbers, in fact, more people who need to be fed. Now, we get a lot of things donated, but they took away our ability to receive homegrown food.
That's ridiculous.
I know, it's obscene. Because we have so many people who were willing and did grow for them, and so many other people who would, if we told them there was a need, put extra plants in the ground and donate it. But they can't accept it. I had 58 eggs that were laid on Friday, delivered to me on Saturday, and I took them over there and they said, we can't accept these. Even though this grower grows for the commercial producers, and these eggs were just too small. They said, no, it's not in a box that doesn't look like it came from the store, and we can't promise that it's FDA approved. Well, of course he's FDA approved. He wouldn't be a grower selling them
right.
the product. But now I had to go find the families on my own, actually. If I could bring them out there and say, this is a gift, can you accept it? Then they do. But anyway, it's not the fault of the program, although I get irate, as you know me.
Yeah, yes.
I've been known to stamp around and slam a few doors.
But I know.
It doesn't make sense to me at all that people will deprive other people for the almighty dollar. It just does not make sense to me.
Does not.
So I don't know why I got off on that.
But I let you.
Well, we have to fill in the gaps, basically, that exist now because the government, you know, California is always on the verge of going under, but they've always cut back. The federal government gives grants to the state governments, who will in turn give grants to the local governments to manage these programs. And even though the federal government acknowledged Meals on Wheels as the number one most important organization in senior nutrition, you know, in helping seniors stay nutritionally sound, they didn't back that up with money. I don't mind going around knocking on doors and shaking things down and saying, hey, I know you have some money. Why don't you help support this? Why don't you keep your donations local? And this goes for your Eugene audience as well.
Yes.
People make donations, especially around this time of year. That's wonderful. I think it's a great idea. But rather than write, you know, a $1,000 check to Red Cross, great organization, why not write a check to something local? It has the same deduction, the same value to you, and you will be able to feel that you're actually participating in making your community better. In our case, Meals on Wheels, because of the things that have been done since I've been around, we were able to actually increase the numbers of people who we can reach. We managed to get a small grant to buy a Jeep. Now we can go further into that rural area we were talking about earlier.
Hi.
That's hard to reach area. Now we actually need a third route because people now understand, that somebody's out there willing to go and rattle the trees. People are listening. The one thing I have learned about people, all people, if they know there's a problem, it's intuitive, instinctive, and evolutionary that they want to solve it.
Right.
We wouldn't be where we were if we weren't problem solvers. So I get calls from people that I don't know saying, you know, I heard you on that radio show. Here's $1,000. And I just say thank you and run to the bank.
Yeah, right.
You know, here's your receipt with my 501c3 number on it. Good for you.
you also do. You're so funny. You also do the Thanksgiving. That has been so. I've been remiss in sending a check down to you. I'm sorry. I'll have to make up for that.
Well, I've felt your energy here, though.
One time, my husband and I delivered some of the turkey dinners.
Oh,
and
wasn't that fun?
I tell you, that was the most. I mean, they didn't want us to go back out the door. They were such sweet people. They just wanted to talk. Boy, that was quite an experience. And I know many of my friends up here, businessmen, and they're busy. I mean, they just take time during that, you know, 11 to 1 time slot, and they get in their car and they go and deliver.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
I remember that day. You came back and you said, I think I just met an angel.
It was.
That first day that you drove.
I know. I had never done that before, and I was just really thrilled. Wow. I had, you know, helped, you know, serve at one time, I think it was. But then I came as a guest one time. Mm-hmm. I just think that's the greatest thing with the music you have playing. This is the Thanksgiving.
Oh, you should have been here this year. Wow. We had Paula Reynolds is a lady down here who does a band called
Kick
Music. She's such a great gal. She's on the CISU Arts Commission, and she is quite a dynamo. You have to take a breath after you talk to her. She's always go, go, go.
She brought her
children with her to deliver, and they sang turkey grams as they delivered this year. And then she came back, and they played music nonstop through the whole dinner, 5 hours. They didn't stop
That's
once.
Great. That's great. A lot of good musicians there in Mount Shasta, and I'm sure you're going to hear a lot of the musicians at the WESAC. Let's give her your contact information, and of course, you can go if you guys, you people, would like to get a ticket for 50. You know, if it's normally $300, if you buy it through my website or here on BBS Radio, then I will get some credit there, and I will personally come up and hug you when I get there.
Well, they also get a $50 discount if they buy through you.
Yes, I'm so excited for that.
I'm glad. I'm glad we were able to arrange that for you because it makes sense. I mean, Eugene and Mount Shasta sound so similar to me that I don't know why we're not sister cities or something.
Right.
We should be visiting each other regularly.
I know. So let's have your contact information.
Let's see. Contact information. Well, the website itself is WESAC, WESAC.us, like in us, U.S.
Uh-huh.
My phone is 530 866-926-5500, or you can make a toll-free call. It's 888-926-9255. And you can ask about tickets. You can ask about vending space if you are a vendor. You can ask about anything you want. I don't know if I'll answer you, but I'll try. But, I may not have all the answers, but
and
I will certainly try.
One of the nice things for the WESAC is that they're, the people who have booths have wonderful products and services. You can probably get a couple readings there. And so, you know, you don't have to go to the WESAC part if you don't want to, but why not? So anyway, we'll be talking about you more on the on this program. I'll be bringing in some of your speakers on the program because
Oh, yeah. If you need any help from me to urge them on, I will certainly put in a good word so that you can talk to whomever you choose.
Right. As long as I have the telephone numbers, I'll just ring them up and we'll get them on.
Well, I'm not accusing you of being shy. I'm just saying if you need any help,
I
will.
Not me, baby. Okay, Dawn. Well, I'm going to call you as quick as we get off the radio here, and I'm going to make the arrangement for that banner thing. So, I'm going to close. Thank you, Dawn, for being on. We had a great chat.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to close. I want to remind each and every one of you out there that who you are makes a difference.
You have been listening to the Good News Radio Program with Judith Conrad. To email Judith Conrad, go to judith@judithconradradio.com.